Today on Family Talk.
More than likely, we are mere months away from seeing gay marriage legalized in America. And today, we're going to talk about what to expect and how we should respond. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and for the next 2 days, we are interrupting our regularly scheduled programming to bring you an important broadcast on the upcoming Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. This is an unprecedented decision and one that will have lasting effects on the culture of America. Today, my dad will talk with three experts on America, the Constitution, and our culture. The first person is the founder of Vision America, Dr. Rick Scarborough. He has a doctorate in ministry from Louisiana Baptist Theological Seminary, and he has been a pastor and full-time evangelist at different parts of his life. Matt Staver will also be on the program today. He is one of the nation's preeminent constitutional attorneys and the founder and chairman of the Liberty Council. Matt has personally argued two landmark cases before the United States Supreme Court and has written numerous briefs before the High Court. Finally, my dad will be joined with Tim Wildman, who is the president of the American Family Association and of American Family Radio. Tim also leads spiritual heritage tours to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. For those that can't stay with us throughout today's program, I want to let you know that there couldn't be a better time to join the Ministry of Family Talk financially. Thanks to the offer of a matching donation from one of our friends, every gift we receive this month, up to a total of $200,000, will be matched dollar for dollar. That means any donation made today through the end of the month will actually be doubled. And to thank you for any gift, we'll send you my dad's latest book, Your Legacy, and its corresponding DVD from the brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. To join the mission of Family Talk and impact twice as many families today, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Here now is my dad, Dr. James Dobson, Dr. Rick Scarborough, Matt Staver, and Tim Wildman on today's special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I tell you what we did, guys, at American Family Association, and some of you may have seen this. We're talking the law of it. We're talking the politics of it, the cultural implications. But also, we did a advertisement, a full-page advertisement in the Washington Post a few weeks ago to the Supreme Court. It was an ad to the Supreme Court, a letter to the Supreme Court justices. And basically, it said, remember whose idea it was in the first place.
That was a beautiful ad, yeah, and I appreciate
marriage
it so
we're talking
much.
About. Remember, it's God's
yes,
idea.
Absolutely. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, this didn't come from Adam. It
That's
came
we
from
need to
the
remember.
Creator himself. And in the second chapter of Genesis, right at the beginning of the scriptures, we read, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That was from the beginning. That's 5,000 years ago, at least. Who knows how long it's been. And it takes your breath away that now we're going to throw it on the ash heap of history.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Dobson, may I also add to that, you've often said in meetings 10 years ago I attended that when marriage is destroyed with such a ruling, it will be the end of Western civilization as we know it. It's the beginning of the collapse.
I believe that.
Well, it's the beginning of the collapse of the United States of America because it attacks the foundation principle upon which our forefathers fought the Revolutionary War. The purpose statement of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, and you know the rest of what that paragraph says, but it's built upon natural law. They talk about natural law and nature's God. So predating the Bible, they said fundamentally, God put in everyone a desire for freedom, and no government can prevent people from pursuing freedom, the right to life, the right to pursue happiness. And so the foundation of America was that God gave us certain rights that no government could bequeath nor take away. Now we have a federal agency of our government, one of the three separate powers, the judiciary, which, by the way, should be the weakest of the three because they can't enforce their own laws. But they're saying that even what natural law teaches any child, any observer of human nature, what is observable natural law is no longer valid. We're going to overrule that and say that two people who were not designed to have sex with each other should be not only able to have sex with each other, but it should be sanctioned by the state. And you religious bigots, and by the way, that's a phrase taken from the New York Times on Good Friday, Frank Bruni, which everyone in America ought to read, with authoritarian-style language says, it's time to shut the conservative Christians up. They're the only ones holding out now. And if necessary, force them to a position where they can no longer call homosexuality sin. So our very basic freedoms are already under assault based on the premise that the Supreme Court's going to deny natural law and give us a ruling made by men that denies God.
You know, with regard to that matter of bigotry, I don't want to give any comfort to our listeners right. about Justice Kennedy because in the Amendment 2 case, which came out of our state, Colorado, and was passed by the people of that state, it was Kennedy who wrote the opinion for the majority that declared Amendment 2 to be unconstitutional, you know, was done by the man that we're now depending on to rescue us from this horrible idea, legislation.
He also wrote the Lawrence versus Texas decision, which was the Texas sodomy case. And the interesting thing is on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, he lists recommended reading of these great historical documents throughout history that are fundamentally foundational to our liberty. One, of course, would be the Declaration of Independence. He's got all these great historical documents that we'd all love to read and appreciate. And guess what modern document he has? His own decision in Lawrence versus Texas that promotes and says there's a right to same-sex sodomy. He puts that at the same category of readership historically as the Declaration of Independence. So this is just an amazing situation that we're facing here with this kind of makeup of a court. One of the things that Rick said, and I want to also go back to what you had begun to, Dr. Dobson, with regards to the children, is the natural law. You know, this issue of marriage is predates civil government.
That's right.
No government has created marriage any more than it creates gravity. It's part of the natural creation, the created order that God ordained. And you may not like gravity, and you might want to have an opinion that changes it, but it is what it is. And you might want to try to change marriage, but it is what it is. It is a natural created order. It is part of the natural law, like what Martin Luther King Jr. wrote from the letter in the letter from Birmingham jail, that there's two different kinds of laws. There's the just law, which is an earthly law that conforms with higher law. We need to obey those, obviously. And there's an unjust law, which is an earthly law that conflicts with a higher law, and we have an obligation not to obey those. And I would encourage people to read that letter because we're experiencing that same kind of thing. It's filled with biblical and theological information about the difference between a just and unjust law. I would say that a decision from the Supreme Court affirming or creating a right to same-sex marriage is an unjust law. And one other point about the children. There's a woman who recently wrote a letter. She wrote a public statement, and she's one of many. Her name is Heather. She was raised by two mothers, and she loves her moms. She's not saying anything against them, but what she says is, she's opposed to same-sex marriage. Why? She says because it deprives children like herself from ever having an opposite-sex parents. She said that every day her heart ached because she did not have a father in her life, and she was hurting, and there's many others that are hurting because they have no mom or they have no father. And in her situation, her moms, her two parents that were women, said that not only did they not need men, but they had an antipathy, an adversity toward men. And so it not only removed a gender that has a significant impact in this young girl's life, but it put a negative spin on that absent gender. And she's aching and she is pleading, don't accept same-sex marriage because you're going to have more injured children just like me who ache for a mom, who ache for a father, who need both mom and dad, male and female, in their lives.
You know, guys, thinking about this, to sort of reset this for our listeners, what you have state constitutional amendments defining marriage as between a man and a woman passed by 30-plus states. So kudos to the work that went into that by all the folks around the country. So they passed.
Tim, if I can interrupt you.
Yes.
Not one loss occurred.
Right.
Every single one of them affirmed traditional marriage.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's a good thing. What's happened, though, just so folks know who maybe don't follow this very closely, what's happened is, as oft happens in our country, a federal judge or federal judges have overruled the people.
That's right.
And they've overruled the people. We believe here, the four of us, obviously, and Matt's a constitutional lawyer, unjustly and unlawfully and unconstitutionally. They've done this. So now this has reached, you have conflicting federal court opinions. Some support states' rights to define marriage. Others don't. And so it's made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. They'll hear the case the end of April. They'll release their decision in June. So folks need to pray for the Supreme Court justices that they make the right decision on this one. But there's only one decision that they can make, really, as you've said here, that stands up in the light of the Judeo-Christian worldview and history and the Constitution. But we'll see how they rule. But we need to pray for them. You mentioned earlier, Dr. Dobson, there, as Matt mentioned, there are two justices that have already participated. Is it Kagan and...
Ginsburg.
Kagan and Ginsburg. They've already participated themselves in same-sex marriages.
They performed the ceremony.
And as you said earlier, in any other case, it would be demanded that they recuse themselves because they've already tipped their hand on a case before them. Right, Matt?
You can't do that. And there's rules. There's judicial canons that apply. But when you're at the Supreme Court, if they don't voluntarily follow the law,
right,
then there's not a whole lot of recourse that you have to force them to do.
Yeah,
so.
I'd like to remind everyone of what Abraham Lincoln said at the Gettysburg Address. He said, "This is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people." Mm-hmm. We are the government. Mm-hmm. We're all 1/350 mm-hmm. millionth part of the decision and the determination of the direction this country is going to go. And now you've got a Supreme Court sitting with ultimate decision-making power to override the wishes of the American
of the people.
Something wrong mm-hmm. with that.
There was a judge, going to your point, Tim and Dr. Dobson, of this absurd situation where they override the will of the people in Virginia, who issued a decision, and she didn't know the difference between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Her decision, neither did her law clerks. These are graduates from law schools that reviewed this decision. They knew it was going to be read by the media. And she says, "We know that the Constitution says that, quote, all men are created equal," close quote. Well, no. It's the Declaration of Independence that says that.
Was
the
that
Constitution,
Ginsburg?
No, this was a federal judge that was appointed by President Obama. And that judge then struck down the marriage law. So this is a judge who literally did not know the difference, neither did her law clerks, between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, trying to tell us what the Constitution says. One other thing. We do need to pray for the Supreme Court. We need to pray that they go the right way. But we also need to not stop with the Supreme Court, because there's a number of states in which a court has also gone the wrong way. So if the Supreme Court says there's no right to same-sex marriage, then we have these other courts that followed what they thought the Supreme Court was saying that's already overruled the marriage laws in those states. And it's 30-some states where they've done that. So we need to go back to those state courts as well, because what applies to the federal court applies to the state court. Same-sex marriage, or the redefinition of marriage, is not a state's rights issue any more than slavery is a state's rights issue. There are certain things, there's a lot of things that are state's rights, and I'm a big state's rights person, but there are certain things that go beyond geography. Life is not a state rights issue. You can't have genocide in Florida and not in Alabama. If sanctity of human life is the sanctity of human life, then it doesn't have state boundaries. It transcends time and geography. Marriage is part of the natural created order. It's part of the natural law, as Rick was saying. It is not a state's rights issue. So yes, we need to focus on the Supreme Court. Yes, we need to pray for them. And we need to send the warning shot. If you go across this line, we will consider that decision illegitimate, and we cannot comply with it. We cannot respect it. But also, that same message needs to be sent down to the state courts as well.
Matt, you know, a lot of Christians that I've heard think the answer to this situation is to allow the states to determine for themselves what the definition of marriage is going to be. But look at what chaos that will provide. You can't be married in Texas and not married in Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
You can't have children not knowing whether their parents had them legitimately or illegitimately.
And if you're married in one state and you go to another state and there's a divorce and there's children involved, do you recognize it or do you not? If you don't have same-sex marriage and then you enter into the proceeding for divorce, you're recognizing something that doesn't exist in your state. So you cannot have this patchwork.
Yeah.
Anybody who has worked in this area knows you can't have it in one state and not the other.
But isn't that the best we can hope for?
No. We're damning children.
That's right.
No, but I mean,
fatherless, motherless society. And we're also sacrificing religious liberty in those particular states. It's the best thing that we can hope for at the Supreme Court. Yes, that the Supreme Court says.
That's what I'm talking about.
Before us now. But after that, I don't want people to think that this battle is only at the Supreme Court. What we do need to do is pledge, and we're encouraging people to sign this marriage pledge at defendmarriage.org because of this huge Supreme Court case coming up. And the best thing that we can hope for at that level is the Supreme Court says there is no constitutional right to same-sex marriage. Absolutely.
Therefore, the states have a right to define marriage.
Therefore, but now that work has to go down after June, if we get that decision, which I pray that we do, our work's not done because we've got to go back and undo the mess that the previous Supreme Court confusion has caused. And what we have is 37 states that have been affected by these other court decisions that have followed what they thought the Supreme Court did. And also we have in New York a legislatively passed initiative that was funded by a billionaire threatening about five Republicans to switch their vote who were opposed to it. And because of that threat of financial repercussions, help or adversity, they switched their votes and now they legislatively passed it. This is such a fundamental issue.
Yeah.
It is not a states' rights issue any more than life is a states' rights issue or slavery is a states' rights issue. Those are so fundamental, they transcend geography.
You know, Matt, I think you'd agree with what I'm going to say, but I'm reminded, be angry, but sin not. So I'm saying this with chosen words. The reason we're in the mess we're in, Dr. Dobson, we've talked about this on air and off air, is because the church for the last 40 years has been completely disengaged with the culture.
Yes.
We've got the judges we've got because we've had presidents who were elected with 75% of the church not even voting, not participating. You get back down to the primary elections, only about 3-5% of the church is participating. So we've created this morass. If we are going to win, we've talked about prayer. We've talked about the things that have to happen, what we will or will not do. But what we've all got to do as a church is repent. Mm-hmm. You know, in 1962 and 63, I was just, 12 years of age when this started. But I think the first wake-up call to us came when prayer and Bible study were kicked out of public schools and people just yawned and and so prayer and Bible study was out the window. Then in 1973, Roe v. Wade came, and the second wake-up call was given to this country. We were asleep on the job. Instead of fighting, as we're trying to do now before the decision to prevent it from happening, we just started preparing every winter to go freeze on the streets of Washington, D.C. and march and march and march, but nothing's really changed. Now we're down to the third warning, the third wake-up call, which if we don't awaken the sleeping church, this nation will not survive. In the New York Times, they're now calling to shut us up. I'm looking at a quote by Frank Bruni in that Friday before Easter's article that said that we must be forced to repent of the heresy of saying that homosexuality is a sin, that same-sex marriage is wrong.
You didn't emphasize the word force, but
force,
you
that's
should
right.
have.
That's right.
Force. They're going to force us
to
do
that's the word
this.
He uses.
Yeah.
Now, folks, listen carefully. Just before the crucifixion scene, Jesus took his most beloved disciples. He took that 5% that were voting in primaries into the sanctuary of the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked them for one thing. Would you pray with me for 1 hour? There were 11 at that point. One had already left, as we all know. But it was in the midst of that prayer with such intensity that the Bible says he He began to sweat great drops of blood. To rouse himself, I believe, he got up and walked over to the disciples. And what were they doing? The three disciples he loved the most, in fact, John, James, and Peter. And he found them fast asleep. And so he awakened them, and they, with a start, he started praying again. He went back to the place where he was praying, where they could hear him praying, the Bible says. He started praying again, and what did they do? They went right back to sleep. And so a second time, he walked over and said, "Can you not just pray with me for this hour?" And they roused themselves and started praying. He went back to his private place of prayer. On the third occasion, when he walked over to them, he said some of the saddest words in all the Bible. He looked at Peter, James, and John and said, "Sleep on." In other words, it's too late now. Yeah. And I fear that if the Church of the Living God does not wake up now, if pastors don't awaken now, if they don't educate their flocks now, mobilize their people now, then we're going to hear a forever sleep on for the greatest nation that God ever gave the earth. The bastion of evangelism to the world will be silenced. And that is the ultimate objective of Satan, to silence the gospel.
Rick, I'm a little older than you, and I remember that decision in 1973 vividly. I was driving my car. I was coming home from the university where I was a professor, and I was listening to the radio, and a news flash came on that the Supreme Court had legalized abortion. I don't think they were honest about it. They didn't say for 9 months of pregnancy under any circumstances, but that's what it meant. And I understood that, and I was shocked by it, and I knew that it would mean millions of babies would die. And I contemplated that, and I expected the backlash from the church. I went to my own church the following Sunday.
God help us.
And it was a strong evangelical church, a very conservative church. My pastor did not say a word. I doubt if he even knew it.
I was in seminary at the time, and nobody,
nobody, there was almost no response, echo in the evangelical church. I'm not a Catholic, but I thank God for the Catholics who did take a stand. They carried the load for about 10 years before evangelicals even began to understand what had happened to them.
The church should have woke up back then, because that was something that just collided with natural law. But they didn't wake up. And essentially what they're saying is that a state can't protect its own children, that you have to permit and sanction and create an environment in which human genocide flourishes in your state. I mean, that's where we are.
And we fund it.
And we fund it.
Parenthood gets $400 million a year.
And the difference up until recently, when the federal Obamacare law then forced employers and now individuals to participate in human genocide, we weren't forced to participate. So people could continue their sleeping, Rick, stay asleep, ignore this horrible thing that I think in their gut they knew was wrong, but they didn't want to get involved. The difference with where we are now is you will be forced. Whether you work as a baker, a photographer, you're a mom or dad, you have children in school, no matter what it is, counselors, you're going to be forced not to be silent, not to just simply sit back and have your own personal view, but to affirmatively participate and be involved in and promote immoral sexual behavior.
Well, gentlemen, there is so much to talk about here, and it all takes my breath away because we are at a defining moment in history. And so we want to continue talking about this. We're here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and we've all traveled to be here except you, Tim. You live here.
Yeah, 3 miles.
3 miles. While we're here, let's just continue talking, and then we will edit that and let our listeners hear it next time. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for the passion that you've expressed today. I share it, and I think millions of other Christians also share it. And you know what? Many people who are not Christians also recognize the importance of traditional marriage. So we'll pick up right here next time.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
Thank you.
We have been listening to an interview with my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and a panel of guests on the upcoming Supreme Court decision regarding gay marriage here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, And as I mentioned earlier, regardless of what the Supreme Court decides, Family Talk will still be here fighting to preserve and promote the institution of the family and to stand for righteousness in the culture. Truthfully, as I said yesterday, there's not a lot we can do physically to impact this decision. But the two things you can do is, one, go to defendmarriage.org and sign the petition. It doesn't feel like a lot, but it says you care about this issue. And the second, which is the most important thing we can do, is pray to our Lord and Creator to touch the hearts of our Supreme Court justices. And if they don't change their mind on this ruling, to strengthen our hearts and our resolve to still do what's right for our country. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, and we'll see you next time on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.